The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
To other traditions now, and you may have been hearing and reading about a forthcoming commemoration for the Royal Irish Constabulary, the RIC, which is being boycotted by the Mayor of Clare, who described the event as historical revisionism gone too far. Dr. Tomás McConmara is an oral historian and heritage consultant who has collected stories about the Black and Tans in his book, The Time of the Tans, an oral history of the War of Independence in County Clare. He joins us on the line. Tomás, good morning to you.
Hi, Oliver.
You're not in favour of this commemoration for the RIC.
No, I wouldn't personally be in favour of it. You know, you mentioned the book I wrote recently, and that's based on over 20 years of recording stories and oral tradition, you know, from people who were children at the time or who inherited stories associated with the Black and Tans or the RIC or auxiliaries who obviously were associated with them. And, you know, having listened to those stories, having gotten such a, you know, a visceral connection to what it was like to go through that period, I couldn't personally endorse an explicit commemoration to that force.
So tell us about the experience. I mean, it is 100 years since the Black and Tans. I think around the summertime, is it, will be the centenary of when the Black and Tans arrived on our shores. Who were they?
Well, it was March 1920 when they actually arrived in. At this time, 100 years ago, the force were being recruited. So, you know, there's obviously a connection to that with regard to the timing of the commemoration taking place on the 17th. But they were predominantly ex-servicemen, Oliver, who had fought in the First World War, who had arrived back at the end of that war in 1918, and in many cases found it very difficult to settle into civilian life, couldn't find employment in some cases, or weren't suitable for employment in other cases. And when the opportunity came up to be paid a very good wage to come over to Ireland in early 1920 and to help suppress the rise for Irish independence, many of them took that opportunity. Now, it is important to also say that there were Irish members of the Black and Tans who joined up subsequent to their arrival in Ireland, but as a force they were brought in to support the existing Royal Irish Constabulary to suppress the Republican movement and the increasing drive for independence. And, you know, they're remembered very strongly for the way in which they violently executed that directive.
And were there many Irish people, Irish men in the Black and Tans?
Yeah, there would have been a considerable percentage. I suppose in some cases it's highlighted in recent times in terms of the revisionism maybe that you mentioned, you know, and it is important obviously to become as accurate and as knowledgeable as we can as about the force, but, you know, a small percentage would have been Irish men, but it's important in the sense that I suppose there may have been a popular perception that they were all English, but there were many different nationalities in the force. But in some cases it's irrelevant, Oliver, and to return to the memories that I've documented, you know, I've interviewed hundreds of people, and you know, in all cases, or in almost all cases, those people were completely aware of the complexity that, you know, faced them in terms of the Black and Tans. They knew the RIC were involved, the auxiliaries, there were Black and Tans, there were regular army. But in the context of the everyday experience, they saw them as the British Crown Forces, and the RIC were a constituent part of that, as were the Black and Tans. So that everyday experience lingered and endured in the memory, and it came out. I remember interviewing a 105-year-old woman, and you could see in her body language, you know, the story, the memory, the feelings, the emotions were all coming out in front of me, even without saying anything verbally. You could see in the body language, when the Black and Tans came up as a category of memory, you could see the impact that they had on the historical consciousness of the Irish people.
I mean, that woman who was 105, I mean, the trauma and tragedy that she would remember, can you give us a snapshot of the sort of things the Black and Tans did in this country?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, well, for example, even in that particular area, that was a lady called Margaret Hoey from Scariff in East Clare. And, you know, in her community, four young men were captured by the auxiliaries. Three of them were members of the IRA, and the fourth was a caretaker in the house in which the other three were staying. The auxiliaries captured them, took them to the Lakeside Hotel in Killaloe. They were beaten and tortured for 8 hours, taken out to the bridge of Killaloe, if you've ever came across the bridge from Killaloe, from Ballina to Killaloe in southeast Clare, and were murdered at 12 o'clock at night by members of the RIC, Black and Tans, and possibly the auxiliaries themselves as well. So that 105-year-old woman, that was a part of her experience. She knew three of those men. So that was obviously a landmark moment in her community memory and in her own memory. But in addition to that, you had burning of houses, you know, on almost a daily basis. You had very violent raids. You had sexual violence against women, which is something that's been increasingly understood, that wasn't spoken about for many generations, but it was part of that experience. So when you combine all that together in a period of only 15 months, Oliver, the Black and Tans as the constituent part of that force were only in Ireland for 15 months.
Wow.
But the intensity of that experience was such that the memory endured, as I said, for generations later, and even people who didn't experience it and who inherited the memory would have incredibly strong feelings against, you know, the RIC, the Black and Tans and auxiliaries, and I include all of them because they are different elements of the one force, and that is the force that's being commemorated on the 17th of January.
I suppose those commemorating the RIC, the RIC, they're sort of saying that, you know, these are ordinary, decent Irish civilians who are policing their communities, weren't really involved in Black and Tan atrocities.
They may say that, that isn't the case, because, I mean, there were, of course, ordinary, decent men in all as there are in all forces, Oliver, and in my work, and it's important to say that I see a difference between historical exploration, historical remembrance, and commemoration. In the former, too, I've been heavily involved in documenting memories of people in our with RIC backgrounds. I've recorded many. I've even reached out to people with Black and Tan connections and recorded those. And that's hugely important in developing an understanding at a human level and to recognise that, you know, when Black and Tans were killed or RIC were killed, they were no less dead than IRA men or women. So I do recognise that. But the commemoration is different. You know, we can individualise the people and look at them at a human level to understand more. Yes. But when we commemorate, we do away with that individuation and we commemorate the force. And the force was there explicitly to suppress the rise for Irish independence. So for the state to commemorate that force, it's contradictory in one sense. And it's also something, as I said, that I couldn't certainly personally endorse. As I said, if people are commemorating them, I would never dream of trying to stop them. But I wouldn't have any part of it and I wouldn't endorse it. And I don't think the state should endorse it. And I don't think there's any insult in the state not endorsing it, because the state wouldn't be in existence if the force had its way at that time.
We see your point. The Black and Tans, I mean, I always grew up learning that they were kind of semi-mad, reduced from, you know, the lunatic asylums and places like that, and then set upon Ireland because the British didn't want to almost recognise that there was a war happening in Ireland by sending in the regular army.
Yeah, I mean, well, part of that is completely accurate in the sense that the British forces didn't want to recognise the IRA as a legitimate army. They didn't want to recognise the conflict as a legitimate war. So they made it a police war. So the Black and Tans, who were, you know, the majority of them trained soldiers, were sent in to support the existing police force. But they were sent in armed in the same way you would send in an army. You know, they were sent in with the same resources you would send in an army. And in many cases as well, Oliver, the regular British Army, who were based in Ireland at the time, did participate in many of the actions in which the Black and Tans were involved as well. But critically, in terms of the official position of the British state, the decision to send in the Black and Tans and subsequently the auxiliaries who were ex-officers as distinct from ex-servicemen, that was on the basis of a refusal to recognise the legitimacy of the war. But also it was a sleight of hand because they could achieve almost the same result. They were sent in with a very loose directive to suppress the Republican movement. The Republican movement was embedded in the community, so therefore the suppression was going to extend to that community. And then we see, you know, a diffusion of that experience right across the country, where even people who weren't directly involved in the struggle for independence suffered from the behaviour of the Black and Tans. The behaviour was in itself violent. It was chaotic. There was the drunkenness was a constant feature of their behaviour in Ireland at the time. So their behaviour became recognised as something you would connect with lunatics and criminals maybe released. There isn't any definitive evidence to support that. Right. But you can understand why you'd arrive at that conclusion when you see these people coming into your townland, you know, in a rural part of Ireland during that period.
Well, Tomás, we're entering a kind of a tricky period of centenaries. While 1916 was easy to unite everybody under the one message, this is going to be trickier as we go deeper and deeper towards the Civil War and beyond.
Yeah, I think the Civil War is going to be very challenging. You know, I think in terms of the period we're entering in now, in 1920 commemorations, it will gravitate to the local and the events that I've mentioned in terms of even the Scarf Martyrs, for example.
To the local stuff,
I'm
just out of time, but if people want to read more about the Black and Tans, The Time of the Tans, your book, Dr. Tomás McConmara, thanks a million for that.